Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Greg and Jessica, Wisconsin's Midday News, with you till 3 o'clock today. So if you've been to the grocery store recently, you might have noticed that the word protein is having a moment.
You have to eat a ludicrous amount of protein. Just eat a lot of protein and you'll be totally fine. But just don't eat too much, but also eat it all the time.
Yeah, eat it all the time. Consumers, you know, Gen Z is kind of driving this. They are demanding more protein-enriched products beyond the traditional shakes and bars and things that you would normally associate with protein, prompting major food companies to refortify their everyday items. So walk down the cereal aisle and you've got Wheaties with protein, Cheerios with protein, everything except peanut butter cups, I guess, made by Reese's. But who knows, in time, that too could have protein.
According to Starbucks, protein never tasted so good.
Okay, well, there you go. Right now it's making its way into your everyday coffee. Consumers are increasingly linking protein to overall health and fitness and weight management, healthy aging, you name it. Let's get to the bottom of this. Paul Fulford is a leading functional aesthetics and wellness expert joining us here on the line. Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
Are you doing well? You just finished crushing some cottage cheese and some whey smoothie. What did you do here today?
I definitely take in protein, but I take in high quality and source my protein effectively. You know, that we've got this, protein is definitely in our face. And I would say, as much as it is Gen Z, it has largely to do with the massive increase of implementing the GLP-1s, right? Where you've got the, you know, Ozempic, Wegovy, you know, semaglutide, tirzepatide, and people that are experiencing rapid weight loss are also experiencing muscle cannibalization because you're putting the body on a very fast, quick caloric deficit, and the body is looking for fuel. And when it looks for protein, it will consume muscle if you're not taking in enough protein and strength training.
So, Paul, how do you determine when a snack making protein claims is worth eating?
Well, I would say you just flip it around and look at the label. Right. If there's more than three or four things that you can't pronounce on the back, that's pretty big red flag.
So to me, protein was always associated with red meats or lean proteins like chicken, all that kind of stuff. And I'm good at that. That's the primary source of my protein, along with some dairy and so on, maybe some almonds here and there. I've never associated it with cereals before, and it's popping up in cereals. Now, it could be that those Cheerios taste pretty sweet and delicious. Is there actual protein in it? I know what the box might say, but are you saying that's not the best way to go about achieving it?
No, you know, adding protein in is excellent, right? I mean, and it actually is a great way to satiate yourself. It controls appetite. It's the most satiating macronutrient we have. It balances blood sugar, stabilizes hormones, but protein snacks are still like junk food in disguise, right? They're just wrapped in a healthier sounding marketing label.
It's like if you see chips labeled high protein, it doesn't mean the chips are good for you. Come on, people.
Right. There's all kinds of ingredients in there that are not necessarily good. You know, lots of bad carbs for fillers and seed oils and different things that are going to impact other levels, which you're trying to control. I mean, I think as much as anything is we have a hormone health crisis in this country more than anything else. You know, testosterone levels have dropped, and that's why they've been going after the food supply so aggressively.
Paul Fulford joining us here on WTMJ, Wisconsin's Midday News. So I have always gone toward the lean protein route. However, my daughter doesn't love beef or pork. She's okay with chicken. She's okay with turkey. So increasingly, I found myself kind of walking through the aisles trying to think, okay, so what are good protein sources for her? Tuna fish? Well, she's 8 years old, right? That's not going to be up her alley. It might be down the road. Peanut butter? No problem. She likes cheese and dairy. This is what, I guess, alerted to me to all these other things that claim to have protein in it. I do wonder, Paul, if some of the items that I mentioned that don't really outwardly put protein on the front label, they more leave it to the nutrition facts, sort of pull that to the front of the label. Like they've always been a good protein source. They've never really just advertised themselves as being that. Is there going to be a packaging and labeling change?
I would say that you see that. I mean, you saw that with the gluten-free thing, right? Where there's like corn chips, for the most part, were always gluten-free. They just didn't say they were gluten-free on the label until that became a thing. I think it's the biggest thing is like, well, we're talking about this, is you want to find the clean sources of protein, right? So there, you know, with your daughter as an example, right? Sometimes if she's not a big fan of meat, like pork, chicken, beef, turkey, you know, you do have the fish options, but there are other alternatives like Greek yogurt or cottage cheese or properly, you know, formulated protein isolates, right? That the problem with these foods that are now claiming or adding protein, or even like the protein that's added in the Starbucks that y'all said in the opener, it's not coming from good sources of protein. The food companies use ultra processed isolates with artificial emulsifiers and contaminated soy protein. So you're getting this illusion of health with no hormonal benefit, right? And that can throw all kinds of things off, especially with children in development.
Well, you know, and you mentioned Starbucks because we mentioned it off the top, but I mean, protein is certainly having a moment when you have a massive company like Starbucks adding protein beverages, and it's not one or two beverages. I'm looking at the menu right now. I see 8, 9, it looks like 11 beverages. And over the weekend, my mom and I went in, we were on a drive, and I said, let's get a little latte. And I looked and I said, I'm not going to lie, this iced banana cream protein matcha sounds amazing, but it's certainly nothing that I would normally order. I did not order it, but it just makes me wonder too, when we're talking about protein, are most people getting enough protein? Because I thought at one point doctors were saying that most people actually get more protein than they need in a day.
Well, see, and that's, I think there's a big misnomer with that, right? Like one of the kind of the rules of thumbs for people like myself that functions in like in the functional and factual scientific side of things as much as I possibly can, right? Is that most people should be eating about a gram of protein per pound for their ideal weight, right? If you're trying to gain muscle mass and you're 125 pounds and you want to be 140 pounds with more muscle, you eat 140 grams of protein. If you're trying to lose weight, let's say you're 140 pounds, you're trying to get to 125 pounds, eat 125 grams of protein. There's so much study in there that talks about excess protein causing fat gain or excess protein causing this. You're better off eating more protein than other things. I mean, when you look at, I think the way I grew up, you know, I'm 45, right? So I grew up with the food groups, and we all know now that's kind of garbage, right? Where you want to eat your protein ideally throughout the day, you want to get that, but it's more important that you actually get all of your protein in, like some people intermittently fast, but you want to try to get 40% of your caloric intake from protein, the other like 30% from dense nutrient and dense foods, and then the other 30% from healthy fats. That's what's going to help promote longevity. I mean, the two best longevity hacks anybody can do is get their gut health dialed in and have muscle, and protein feeds muscle. As long as you're active, it's going to help that for longevity.
Paul, how young is too young to introduce a protein powder in a smoothie or a shake?
I would say as long as it's well sourced and high sourced, I don't think too young is a thing. You know, if you want to get good grass fed beef, you know, collagen protein type of situation, not something that's heavily processed, but it's also a nice thing to do, especially like I have a daughter who's 15 now, but she's been a competitive dancer since she was 7 and she's on the go all the time. You know, sometimes she's going from place to place. She needs to satiate her body. Having a protein shake or a smoothie is something that we incorporated at the time she was 10 or 11.
Just make sure those protein powders don't have too much lead in them. Wasn't it just last week, Consumer Reports, like they had an investigation that found concerning levels of lead in about 24 popular protein powder brands? Did you hear about that?
I have, and it's the same thing even when you look at the PFAs in the bottled waters, right? Like there's a lot of different things out there showing that. I mean, unfortunately, we've got to be advocates for our food and our health at a much higher level than we once did, right? I think that, there's been a lot on this. You look just north of the border, even in Canada, when you look at the same type of cereal. So General Mills makes the same cereal for both places, and you look at the, for like Lucky Charms, for example, you look at the list of ingredients in the States of what's in Lucky Charms, and you look at the list of ingredients in what's in Canada in Lucky Charms, and it's half. And it's because we just have such a consumer-driven mindset. If you make something crunchier, taste sweeter, and have more color to it, you want to consume more. You're not satiating the body. So that's why these things are done. You know, I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be more expensive to eat healthy, as long as you're, you know, your diet is consistent of nutrient-dense foods and good proteins and good fats.
But those Lucky Charms are magically delicious, so are good. They not?
They are kind of magically. They definitely are.
Really good information from Paul Fulford joining us here on Wisconsin's Midday News. Paul, great insight. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yep, you bet. It's 1:57, we'll call it here on WTMJ. I think you could order the marshmallows, just the marshmallows.
Yes,
I think
I remember that.
I think you could do that
those
on Amazon or something. Just the marshmallows come. Oh, gosh, that's all we need.